Okay, I almost thought I'm going to have background music while I do my sermon. Okay, so I just want to say I love it. In the intercession, what people are praying now, the words that people brought, it's just so, I just feel that God is so into the service, into the sermon. And my angle is going to be maybe a bit different, but what the people shared is actually what is in my message. My name is Kenny, and we're busy with a sermon series called What I Wish They Told Me. And it's really about what I'm going to preach now is what I wish people told me when I was younger. And basically, how I see it is it's just a bragging session. It's a bragging session where we just brag about our dad and his children, especially as a son. Boys, we like to brag about our dad. My dad is so strong. My dad is richer than your dad. My dad's farm is so big. You drive from this one side to the other side for 2 days. And then your friend comes back and he says, yeah, we also used to have a useless bucky like that. But it's really about bragging about God. And I know there's a lot of things that happened and we spoke about now. There's maybe certain things in your life that you're struggling with. And like the political situation in South Africa is also a bit tense. But tonight's not about that. Tonight's about the real answer. Tonight's about Jesus, the glorious Jesus. And my sermon is titled, God is Fun. He is Fun. And it's really close to my heart. And as preachers, we share a photo of ourselves when we didn't know this, when we still were wishing, well, we haven't had this revelation, so there's a photo of me. Okay, that's in 2000. I don't know if you do know which one I am. So it's my twin brother and David, another friend. So this is in 2003. We were busy. We were busy building a mud hut in Transkei, but it's a church, but it's basically a mud hut. And we didn't bath for a week. And that's Fia. She wasn't even my girlfriend at that time. She didn't bath for 2 weeks. Yeah, it is Fia. She looked very funny, I know. A lot of people don't recognize her. But it was really a special time, and it was a time where God started to reveal himself to me. We had a lot of fun, but I didn't have the full revelation of this yet. Okay. So, to make this sermon, sorry, I'm just going to move this. I've just added the extra comment if you didn't know that. But that's a hot girl there. Okay, so my just to make the sermon more fun, I've added a subtitle. And that's a subtitle. Don't know if you can read it, but it says, Jumping on the Bed in the Holy of Holiest. Okay. So that's what we're gonna talk about. And it's serious. Okay? So I don't want laughter, any laughter, please. Okay. Can you please not laugh there in the back? Okay, so this is very serious. Now, I'm obviously joking. But when it comes to a sermon like this, it can just be a nice sermon, but it's really something serious to have fun. And I believe God is really serious about it. Okay, so when you look at that subtitle, we must first understand what the Holy of Holiest is. So I don't know if you know what the Holiest of Holiest is. There's a little picture that we've got, nice architectural drawing, to scale, everything. And it's a picture of the temple. So yeah, you've got, in the front section, you've got the normal part of the temple. That's where the normal people like you and me could go into in 2,000 years ago. We could go into and we do our thing, maybe a sacrifice, or just spend some time there, listen to the word. But then there was this place called, this was a holy place, and this was called the Holiest of Holiest. That is where the Ark of the Covenant was, You mustn't confuse this with Noah's Ark. And if you're confused with that, then please go to Bible school. There's a last free session. And the Ark was where God's presence was. It was a really special, special place. The holiest of holiest, where God's presence was. And it might sound different. It might sound funny now to have a place like that, holiest of holiest, where God's presence was. But that's because something has changed. So how it worked is, once a year, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the high priest, only one special, very special person, could go into the holiest of holiest, and he could give a blood sacrifice. And that blood sacrifice was for the whole year's sins for Israel. So once a year, go into the special place. The only time you go in there. It was such a special place. And if you look at if you read the Old Testament, it was so, the presence and the ark was considered so holy that some people even died because just it was God's presence. If you didn't clean yourself before, you didn't go through a ritual cleaning, you could die. So that's how intense that place was. But now, like I said, it sounds funny now because something has happened. And what happened is Jesus. So Jesus died on the cross for us. He was the blood sacrifice. He took the sins of us on himself and he sacrificed himself. He was also, they also talk in Hebrews that says he was the high priest. So he was the one that was a sacrifice and was also the one that brought our sins before God. And it's now forgiven. We are atoned for our sins. And what happened to the holiest of holiest on that day when Jesus was crucified, see, there's a curtain. That curtain, tore open. And what that means is Jesus opened for us to come, opened the way for us to come into the special place, into this holiest of holiest. It's the presence of God. People used to die when they just got into that presence. But now we can go into it. Sometimes we take that for granted. That is the holiest of holiest. So it's a special, special place. And we can now enter, freely, freely enter into that. So I want to tell you tonight, just to come back to my imagery of the bed, is there is a bed in the holiest of holiest. It's not an ark anymore. There's a bed in the holiest of holiest. And a bed is made for three things. The one is, what's the one? Rest. The other one is for intimacy, but the third one, and the third one is so important, we're going to talk about it, and many of you don't know, even know that you can do that. You think God said you can't do it. Okay, so I've just made a movie clip, and I'm going to show you what you can do. Okay. No toddlers were hurt in that. That video was, the bed was a bit hurt, or the bed was a bit broken. So our bed, our kids are allowed to jump on the bed, and because of that, our bed really squeaks. But one day in heaven, the beds don't squeak. I don't know if you know that. It's German engineered. You don't have to worry. You can jump on the bed. It doesn't squeak. You won't break a spring. Okay, so what are we going to do now is, that is 45 seconds. So in heaven, obviously, we're going to do a lot of jumping on the beds. So we're going to practice just for 45 seconds. In heaven, you're obviously going to do it for much longer. So I think we must just can just as well practice that. So we can all stand up. 45 seconds. You're going to jump. Okay, so I don't know if you know. Okay, don't even know the definition of a jump. You know what's the definition? Your feet must actually lift off the ground. Okay. Okay, so we're going to play the clip and then we're going to jump. There's some cool obstacles you can do stage dives off.
You can jump in a pool.
Yeah, you can jump. You're going to go straight to heaven if you jump in the pool. Okay, let's play. Jump, jump. Kickflip. Okay, everyone sit down. Okay, Kathleen, I think there's some people that need your speciality. Kathleen is a personal trainer. She can help you get fit. One day in heaven, you'll need it. Okay, also might be needed. Okay, so turn to someone next to you and just say this. God is going to break some rusted, old, boring religious bed springs today. Have you done it? Okay. Okay, so on a one mission, I also tried to do a stage dive like that. Or not a stage jump, and I jump, and as I kicked my heel up, I hit this finger, and it was out of, what do you call it? It was dislocated, so people had to pull it back. It was quite traumatic. Okay, so why do I say it's fun in the earliest of earliest? There's three things that we're quickly gonna talk about. First thing is, God is a fun father. God is a father. That's why he's fun. I've been a father for 3 years, and I know one of the most amazing things is you can have fun with your children. When you come home, sometimes your wife doesn't want to play with you, but your children want to play with you. Okay, God is a fun father. We have in our house, it's basically 80-20. It's 80% fun, 20% it's strict. You must eat your food, you must eat your veggies. Time out, go get a spank or whatever. But there's 20% serious, 80% fun. And I believe God is very similar, and we can prove it from the Bible. If you just look at all the festivals that God made the Jews do. Another name for a festival or feast, what's another name? Party. It was always a party with a purpose. I'm just going to name it for you. There is the Passover party, which is the unleavened bread party. So it's just unleavened bread. First fruits, that sounds like a better party. Feast of weeks, that was more long party. It's called Pentecost. The Feast of the Trumpets. Armand was very, he can be part of that. The Day of Atonement that we talked about. The party of the tabernacles. And in addition to that, every new moon was a party. So every month, there was a big party. And every week, Sabbath, was a good big party. They said you must come together. You must eat the Sabbath meal. It's a festive season. And then what's even more is God told everyone, you can't work on a day. You must just party. Party and rest. How's that? God is into having fun. That's Nehemiah 8, 9 to 10. It's that famous scripture where Nehemiah says, remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But I don't know if you know the context. The context is actually very interesting. Nehemiah 8, 9, it says, then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. do not mourn or weep. Okay, so this day is holy, so therefore you mustn't mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the Lord. Then, verse 10, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food, nice food, and sweet drinks. Maybe it included Coke, I don't know. And send some to those who have nothing prepared. This is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So this is the Feast of the Trumpets, Armand's feast. And Nehemiah read the law. And obviously, when you read the law, I think when we still read the law, it's like, shucks, I haven't complied with the law. I'm a sinner. I'm a worm. So I'm going to mourn. I'm going to weep. But then Nehemiah says, no, you mustn't do that. This is a holy day. You must have a party. This is a holy day. You must have a party. Because, what's the reason? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Basically saying, it's more important to party over the goodness of God than to mourn over your sinfulness. And maybe that's a word for us today. Is it? Are you just mourning over your sinfulness, or are you parting that we've got a gracious God, we've got a good God that actually forgives when we sin? That was amazing when I discovered that. Okay, then if you don't believe me, God is a fun father. Just look at his son. He was fun. Everyone liked him. And it wasn't because he was an extrovert or because of his personality. Isaiah even says he wasn't, if you look at the prophecies in Isaiah 50:53, he wasn't that good looking even. So there's like chances for me as well to be a fun person to be around with. But it was just something inside of him that draw people to him. The sinners liked him. The tax collectors liked him. The women at the well liked him. The tax collectors today would be like the Guptas. You could even hang out with the Guptas. And they thought, yes, this guy is fun. And the woman at the well, maybe she's like the Mavericks dancer. He had the ability to even chat to her and make her feel comfortable, listen to her story. Can we do that today? That's a question. Can we do that? Can you hang out with the Guptas? Maybe that's another sermon. Can you hang out with the Guptas? Can the Guptas think you're fun? But that was how Jesus was. He made wine at the wedding. After the first batch was depleted, he made wine. He was into parties. Well, I forgot about that. Obviously, the other feast that he's party that he's very into is marriage. So we've got a big marriage coming up. There's the father of the bride. And God is into marriage. He even calls our relationship with him a marriage. He says he's going to come back for the marriage party. It is massive. And marriage and the weddings those days weren't just one day. No, it was up to 7 days. It was a massive party. This one I liked is Jesus played with the children when other people were too tired to play with the children. Some of you must just go and facilitate some children's church. Then you'll learn a lot about the kingdom. God says you won't if you don't become like a child, you won't be able to inherit the kingdom. So where are you learning from a child? What is? So the only people that didn't like Jesus or thought they didn't like his funness, couldn't experience his funness. Who were they? They were the Pharisees. They were the boring people. So boring defined in this context is people who say something but they do something else. They're hypocrites. So if you're a hypocrite, you're boring in God's eyes. In fact, God made serious jokes about the Pharisees. Like, I'm a bit worried. If you read Matthew 23, I can't believe that Jesus actually said those things to the Pharisees. But that's just, he loved them, and he just wanted to show them their obvious faults. Okay. Then Jesus had a sense of humor. In a dictionary of biblical imagery, it says, if there's a single person within pages of the Bible that we can consider to be a humorist, it is without a doubt Jesus. There is a subtle, playful quality to his mind. It's unmistakable, a And it emerges most clearly if we take time to distill his humorous sayings from the seriousness that also pervades his words. Jesus was a master of wordplay, irony, and satire, often with an element of humor intermixed. So if you go read carefully through, look, the Bible isn't a comedy book. It's not just full of jokes. There's lots of serious stuff and really important things. But if you look at Jesus, he had this wit about him. I think actually if you take him in the context of those days, just imagine the type of sermons the people of Israel had to sit through before Jesus. Just the boring people giving them. Saying, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. It was extremely boring. Maybe then John the Baptist, he was more of a weird guy. So he made things more interesting. And then Jesus came and he was just all over. So I'm just going to, Jesus said things like that. He says, you're straining out a gnat, which is a fly, but you're choking on a camel, but you're swallowing a camel. That's what Jesus said. That's funny. But we read it, we think of Jesus as this melancholical, like very serious person. But Jesus, that's what he said about the Pharisees. So don't be boring like the Pharisees. And then the other one. This is my prop. Megan. What is that? Is that the bit of sawdust I see there? Yeah. Maybe you must pray about it. Have you fasted about that? Have you fasted about it? It's going to impact your relationships with your friends. Seriously. I can pray for you. I can pray with you. See, that's funny. Jesus was extremely funny. But we never see him like that. The most basic or the thing you can just think of is we are made in the image of God. Every one of us, we have a relationship with him. We've got the Holy Spirit in us. We like jokes. Why are we laughing? We like it. But we're made in the image of God. God loves to laugh. He loves making jokes, making fun. Third point I want to make is why God is fun is the kingdom. Seeking the kingdom is fun. It's a fun adventure. I don't know if you've read in Luke 10:17, it's like first mission trip, they sent 72 two by two out, and the people come back and they say, it says this, the 72 returned with joy. They were happy. It was, wow, won't believe what happened, Jesus. We pray for these people, demons manifested, and by just saying your name, they go out. People get delivered. Wow, it's amazing. Adventure. It's fun. Kingdom is fun. Where can a normal person do that? It's like you get into contact with like evil stuff, and then just by the authority of Jesus stuff, you don't have to be scared of it. It's so much fun. I had a very similar experience going on a mission trip. That's actually how I, if it wasn't for demons, actually I wouldn't have been so good friends with Reino. Just to explain to you how fun it's in the kingdom, is we were on a mission trip, Reino was the leader, and we went to this village, and Cara Boltman, she was, we were praying, she was also on a trip, and we were praying, and she got a word saying, there's some weed among the grains in this village, and okay, let's pray for that. Pray, God, please purify it. When we arrived there, we didn't really know what these weeds are. It was wild. When we did the first, we started worship, and it was a service, and it was just, it sounded like a zoo. There were people actually manifesting sounds like animals. And it was crazy. Whenever we worshiped, did something to praise God, there would just be these animal sounds. And it really sounded like a zoo. And we were clueless. And we were praying for these people. And we had special encounter, what's the encounter for type services with them. And we prayed for them. And we didn't actually know if anything was happening. But after that mission, everyone on that team knew the power they had, the authority they have in the name of Jesus. And the next mission trip, when the people went back, we specifically asked them, okay, just be aware what you might encounter. And they came back and said, this is fine. So we actually did, by being clueless, God was still with us, and he helped us. And it was an adventure. It's so much fun just seeing how God can use you to set other people free. And it is, you imagine, like, Steven Spielberg can't even figure that out, can't even do a movie that shows all these things. It's really a lot of fun. Acts 2, you see disciples have an outreach. And it's 7,000 people get saved. And it's amazing. But what does the people from the outside, what do they say about the people? They say, these guys, they're drunk. They're drunk with new wine. They were having so much fun, people think they're drunk. So when last did you walk into our church or another church and say, oh shucks, these people are drunk. Where's the bar? Is this a church or is it a bar? That's how much fun it is. Sorry? Yeah. Maybe there was a happy hour or something just before I came in. But that's how fun it is in the kingdom. He wants you to be filled with, not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And I believe we're going to see more of that. And that's also why we need to be open and be like children. Because children have fun. They don't worry what other people think of them. They have fun. They can sometimes act low, look like they're drunk, but they're just having fun. Like I said, we're talking a lot about fun. So I just want to define fun a little bit. And I'm going to use the metaphor of a bed again. So there's two beds. There's two types of bed we can actually have fun. And the one bed is called joy, and the other bed is called happiness. Okay. So that bed they make in heaven. There's a guy in heaven that makes those beds. He's got a monopoly on it. He sells a lot of them. There's no competition commission in heaven. But it's good. It's very good. Very good. I think he's German. But happiness, those beds you don't get in heaven. Okay, so there's two types of beds you can have fun on. Okay, I'm just going to go through them and explain what I mean. But first of all, happiness is something. It's something that happens to us. Where joy is something that's from us and goes outside. First of all, it stands for Jesus, others, and yourself. Something from that. It's an outward focus. First one again. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's something that's inside of us. Jesus had joy. Happiness is just emotion. It goes up and down, up and down, up and down. Thirdly, happiness works on the thermometer principle. Thermometer is, it looks at, it senses the circumstances and it gives you a reading, okay, the ambient is 25 degrees. Where joy works on the thermostat principle. It's like this aircon. It looks at the ambient, says, okay, now it's 30 degrees, I want to make it 20 degrees. So it changes the circumstances. It changes the atmosphere. And that's what we want to do. If you just look at Jesus, he was able to go to the Guptas. He was able to talk to the Mavericks dancer. But he wasn't the thermometer. It will be serious really wrong if you're a thermometer and you go and eat with the tax collectors and the sinners. Because then you're going to be influenced. But if you're a thermostat, you influence. So if we go into our work, we go into wherever we go, we are thermostats. We're changing the atmosphere. But you can only do that if you have the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. So it's basically the one below the thermostat. It influences the unholy. So we influence. So if I spend time with unholy people, I'm not going to get unholy. They're going to get holy. But happiness is the other way around. Sometimes we as Christians, we forget about that. Second last one, delay. Joy works on delayed gratification. Best example of that is Jesus said, the Bible says Jesus could endure the cross because of the joy that was set before him. He was able to look into the future and see, wow, there's so much joy on the other side of that cross. I have to endure. Happiness just says, Big Mac, please, now. It's like someone training for a marathon and you don't want to do the hours, you don't want to put in the hours, you just want to run a sub-3 marathon. It doesn't work. You can ask Kathleen, it doesn't work like that. It's like someone wanting to go to heaven, but you haven't really practiced how to jump on the bed. You're gonna be so tired in the first hour. Okay. So they did a in Stanford. They did a. I don't know if you know. Do you know the marshmallow experiment they did? So they gave a marshmallow to children, and then they said, okay, if you don't eat this for 15 minutes, we're gonna give you another marshmallow. So it's that joy that was set before them. Okay, see if they can endure this difficult thing of looking at a marshmallow. 15. I know if some of us wouldn't even be able to. And then they just by looking at that, that correlated so well with how they did at school. So being a joyful person, jumping on the right bed will actually help you in school. Kiara, maybe you can use it at your school. And Big Mac, please, is basically our instant gratification culture. Things that falls in there, especially for us men, it's like pornography, sex before marriage. It's much more fun to wait. Joy, to wait till you get married for sex and that kind of thing. But we want it now. But then you're jumping on the wrong bed. Ultimately, joy is about choice. You can choose if you're joyful. You choose if you activate the spirit inside of yourself, where happiness is, it's like the wind blows. I've got two little daughters, or the one is, she's discovering her emotions nowadays, so it goes like the wind blows. In Frederick, the wind blows a lot. Okay. Then the most important principle, and that is the next slide, is joy or fun. There's no fun on this side of the cross. It's only on that side. It's only Jesus that gave us access to the holiest of holies. The holiest of holies is the most fun place. That's when we're with Jesus, when we're with our fun dad, we can play on that bed all day long. And that is, without Jesus, you won't be able to access it. Okay, then, got some practical tips for you, some holy jump hacks that you can apply. You can go tomorrow, you can apply it in your work, wherever you go. First one is, and we're going to actually pray for this, and you will be able to come forward, is ask God to reveal His fun side to you. See, I still sometimes don't believe, or feel like I don't believe God is fun. Because we've been growing up, it's almost this, we've been brainwashed that God is not a fun God. He's not a good dad. He doesn't want the best. He doesn't want to have fun. It's something which often we can maybe know it with our minds, but do you really know it with your heart? Do you really know it with your heart? Can you honestly say, God is fun? And then just ask God. We're going to ask God to reveal His fun side to you. And you're going to see it's amazing. I'm also obviously still in a journey. I don't know everything yet. Okay, second thing is get rid of boring hypocrisy. The only people that couldn't experience God's fun side was people that were hypocrites. And we all got a little bit of hypocrisy. It's when you say something but do something else. It's when we pretend. It's when we pretend that we're more holy than other people. We judge other people. That's when we're hypocrites. And that's when we're going to miss this fun side. So get rid of that. Third thing is, prayer is a conversation. It's not a ritual. So many times we just pray. How many times we pray just, amen. Amen. Why is there always an amen? It's a conversation. When you talk to Matthew, do you just say, Matthew, what did you think of? Amen. Oh, it's done. No. It's something, it's just part of our culture, but it's becoming, it's become a ritual. What God really wants is he wants to be a friend. He's our friend. He said to his disciples, he calls them friends. He was Moses. He was a friend of Moses. He wants to chat to you through the day. He wants to know, okay, Kenny, or okay, I'm married, but I'm thinking now, some Francia, what do you think of that? What do you think of that girl? Yes, she's a good girl. Maybe we must ask her on a coffee date or whatever. He wants to be involved with you like a dad, a real dad, or a real mom is. Have a conversation with him. Fourth one, laugh with him at your circumstances. How often do you find yourself in such weird circumstances? Like, if you're going to seek the kingdom, like I said, you're going to find yourself in really weird things. God is going to tell you to do things, and then it's just going to, whoa, what happens here? And then you just have to laugh with God. Because he's played you there. Now he's going to see how you're reacting. Past week ago, it's just a funny story. I was in Ghana, and I said, okay, I'm gonna buy something for my little daughters from Ghana. So I saw, okay, there's this market. I'm going to go to the market. I took a taxi to the market, arrived at the market, and I just started walking. But this market is massive. Do you think Canal Walk is big? This market is just, and there's many more people, and it's so, you know, like, there's water flowing that doesn't look like water. It's just, it's crazy. This lady's selling snails. This lady's selling crabs. This guy's selling old soccer boots. Just, you can buy anything, and it's crazy, crazy, crazy. It's a really interesting experience. And I was walking through it, and I realized, shucks, I haven't seen one white guy. I'm the only. And the people started calling me, hey, white guy. Hey, white guy. Come here, white guy. But they weren't dangerous. They were really loving people. But I was just laughing. Then I just realized, God must be laughing now. This guy, this white guy walking through, he doesn't know where he's going. Eventually, I got out of it, but it just, it was such an interesting experience. And the last one, if you forget all of them, just do that. Try and do that. So we say we are a church at reaching generations, nations and generations. We need to spend time with older people. They've got lots of wisdom. But we also need to spend time with kids, because you must release. You know, you've got an inner three-year-old. You must release him. We must release him in worship. We must release him when we do things in church. When it's small, we must release that. And the only way, the best way, what I find, is just spend more time with kids. Maybe just go and apply for kids' church. It's actually, I think it's a boring thing if you think it's more important to be in this service than to be in the kids' service. The kids' service, you can learn just as much from the kids' service as you can learn from this service. Okay, there's no, don't feel guilty. Remember the joy of the Lord. There's not a kids' service there. No, but spend some time with kids. And many of you may are going to tell me, hey, Kenny, kids, man, how can you say that you can learn from them? They're disobedient. They don't listen to me. They're naughty. And then I'll just tell you, but that's exactly how God feels. You're naughty. You must get a spank sometimes. It'll just give you a heart for God. You'll just, your relationship with God will just be better afterwards. Okay, so let's stand. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that you're a good dad and you're just so much fun. And we often think that when we come to you, it's just for a blessing. We're going to get something from you. And we get so much from you, Father. But actually, what we realize is that you're the blessing. It's your presence that's a blessing. It's the ability to be in that holy of holiest. To be in your presence, to jump on that bed, and to know my father, my dad is jumping with me and having fun with me. It's just something indescribable about that. That you, the God of the heavens, the God that made everything, the God that's most powerful than in any earthly dad. We can brag for months about you, that you come and you want to jump with us on the bed. Father, I pray now, right now, Father, I pray that you'll come and show everyone here your fun side. Father, I pray that you come and show them how you love them, how you're a good God, and how you just want to be with them. You just want to spend time with them, and whatever they think it is, whatever they think is fun, you just want to spend time. If they like sports, you want to spend time with them doing sports. If they like arty things, then you'll do that with them. You just want to spend time with them. Thank you, God. So while every eye is closed, I just want to, if you really feel that you want to experience God's fun side tonight, and you really want to experience that holiest of holiest, then I just want you to raise up your hand. And we're going to pray for you. And we really want to pray for you. We're going to trust that God breaks down the walls that you've built up, these things that we tell us, or the lies that we believe about God. So is there anyone like that? Then I want you just to come forward, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that God just showers you with his blessing, showers you with his love and his fun. But then there's another... Then there's another people that you haven't even gone past the cross. You haven't even accepted Jesus, your love. Jesus is the only one that can open the holiest of holiest for you. So if you haven't accepted Jesus, then I also want you to raise your hand. Is there anyone like that? Just spend some time in praying for God's fun side to be released over people. So if you haven't put up your hand and you still want to come forward, then you can come forward. The people that put up their hands, they can come forward, and then we're going to have this facilitator just pray for you.